Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I was kind of surprised to see how few times that's happened in the postseason. So I think it's pretty cool. And I've been saying since I got here, the vision has always been let's have home playoff games at Soldier. And I'm proud of our guys being able to bring that vision to life this year. And hopefully we can come out and make our fans proud here this weekend.
That's Ben Johnson talking about the upcoming game Saturday night against the Packers. And he would normally be joining us on our Circus Sports Hotline, but he's live in our studio. Of course, we broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Happy to sit with Fox 32 Sports anchor himself, Lou Kanellis. Lou.
Come on, man. Is it only Thursday? On Monday, I was hoping it was Saturday.
That's the thing. Like, I'm so happy this game's on Saturday and not Sunday. Like, let's get to it. And now we're 48 hours plus out, and I'm just like, can we get there already?
And are you happy that it's Saturday night?
Yes.
You know the city, not only Soldier Field, but the city will be lathered up.
Ugh. That part of it, too. Like, the videos that everybody was posting after the win, people out and about watching the game with friends, whoever, family. Such a busy night the last time. To do it on a Saturday night again, I feel like Amazon Prime was probably wanting the same kind of atmosphere that Fox got. And Fox 32 gets to broadcast the game, which is fantastic.
It's great. Fox 32 made the call at the beginning of the year to buy the Amazon Prime package, which at that time was one Thursday night game. And we carried, actually, it wasn't even Thursday night. It was Black Friday against the Eagles. So we had the game and obviously did great for the Bears. But at that point, beginning of the season, Sean O'Hare, who makes the programming calls at Fox, he didn't know if the Bears were going to have the type of year that they had. So we knew we had the Black Friday game, and it ended up being a monster matchup against the defending Super Bowl champs. And then you see that it's going to Amazon Prime. I remember when the schedule came out on Sunday on NBC at halftime, and I said, Amazon Prime, man, I think we can get that game again. So it's so big for us. Layla, let me just go back real quickly, because obviously I was blessed to be part of that 1990s Bulls championship run for 8 years. And I can't tell you how many times I'd finish up a Bulls game and I would be so ecstatic and just honored to be at those games, sitting with Neil Funk and John Paxson and Tom Boerwinkle and whoever was calling the games with us back then, Derek Dickey, who has since passed away. And I would sit right next to Phil. And I mean, the United Center or the Chicago Stadium was electric back then. But in the back of my mind, there was a place called Melvin B's on Rush Street, for those listening, next to the Hunt Club. And I used to hear about how all the bars were going off. And I'd say, man, that would be cool to be in the bar watching the Bulls go to a championship. And I know it's going to be great again on Saturday in this town. I will be in studio, excited about doing the postgame show, because we're doing a pregame show, 12:30 to 2, early, because Fox has its own pregame show, and then the Carolina Rams game. And then immediately after the game, I know you guys are doing a postgame show, I listen when I can to Olin and Pat and Mully, but we're also doing one on TV where we're going to carry Caleb and Ben Johnson and Locker Room Reaction, thanks to Cassie Carlson. So it's a big night on Saturday. The city will be up for grabs.
Oh, that's the environment. I mean, to have it twice, and what's funny is, we joke a lot about broadcast crews being biased, and a lot of it isn't jokes. You know, there are some biased crews. I get that. A lot of times it happens here. I feel like it was in the Bears' favor the last time. You know, you guys got to host Tom Brady and Kevin Burkhardt and Aaron Andrews and Av Lee. And here's Kevin Burkhardt talking about the struggle of the 4,000-yard season for a Bears quarterback in the ensuing game. And I'm like, wait a second. It's like they're one of us. How do they understand this? Like, this is the exact opposite of being biased against the Bears. They're in this. And they talked about how much fun it was to be a part of that Saturday night game, too.
I sat next to him at dinner on Saturday night when they came in. And I said, that pass from Williams to DJ Moore, where does that rank? And he said, best call I've ever had. He said, it's just it was unbelievable. And I said, what I loved about Tom is you felt his emotion. There was nothing where, you know, hey, Caleb didn't do this or Caleb didn't do that. He called it one of the great plays that he has ever seen. And the one thing about that crew is, at least when you get them in a situation like I was fortunate to be in last Saturday, where you're having dinner with the guy, with the entire team, and it's a whole crew. They bring 20 to 25 people. They bring producers, directors, cameramen. There's no, like, walls. Everyone's just kind of shooting it out there over dinner. And to feel their excitement calling the Bears game. So Burkhardt said to me, who do you like out of the AFC? And I said, I'm rolling with Buffalo. He goes, ah, bad call. I saw him against the Eagles. And I said, no, I think this is Josh Allen's time. He doesn't have Patrick Mahomes in the way anymore. And he said, nah, I don't see it. I said, well, who's coming out of the AFC then? Because it's so wide open. I said, are you going to sit and tell me Denver? Denver with Bo Nix and that young team? And he didn't say that. You know who he called?
Jacksonville?
Houston Texans.
Yeah, that's there it is.
He said it's the best defense in football.
When they were 0-3, I put money on them to win the division. Didn't win, obviously, because Jacksonville held on late. But those two teams both red hot right now. But Houston, with that defense.
Yeah.
That's the kind of defense that has Bears fans jealous, right? Because that's what they're accustomed to if their team is good, is having a defense on that level. And with C.J. Stroud as the quarterback, making just enough plays, you feel like they could have a sustained run.
Well, what's funny is all three of us picked Buffalo then. That was my preseason pick, was Buffalo against the Rams.
It was my pick even before Mahomes wasn't invited to the playoffs.
It was time. And I don't just say that because of the odds. I felt like it was time. And given the gauntlet that they had of a season and a playoff last year, it just felt right. But the funny thing is about Houston, they switch offensive coordinators. You know, famously fire their OC in the offseason. And that offense just looked terrible to start, to the point where I had lost any faith in them performing the way that I thought they were going to perform throughout the season. To have this kind of comeback, yeah, that's wild. I find it very interesting that Kevin Burkhardt said that.
I'll tell you what, when they picked up Danielle Hunter, the fine pass rusher that was in Minnesota, that's when I said to myself, ooh, they're going to have a really good defense. And Clowney as well. Is Clowney in Houston? I haven't seen enough Houston Texan footballers.
Jerry, I think the Cowboys briefly picked up Clowney,
right? Yeah, I knew that. But who was the other? They got another pass rusher.
Well, Hunter was in the top. Wasn't he in the top five in sacks?
Yeah, I mean, he was right up there. He really pulled that defense together for Houston. Anyway, obviously their defense is terrific.
Hunter is third.
Third in the NFL in quarterback sacks. He was a guy that I was hoping the Bears were going to get before they went out and signed Dio Odangbo.
See why you do that, Lou. See,
I know.
We're all in a good mood.
You're probably
here.
Thinking
we're
of Will Anderson.
We're all feeling good. And, hey, man, as we get into our Bears discussion, Marshall, it's a big deal. It's a big deal on Saturday. You better put pressure on this guy. And if you don't sack him, you better at least make him feel uncomfortable in that pocket, or he will pick you apart.
So how is that not? And you tell me if this is your biggest concern, but it's my biggest concern is I feel like Jordan Love, because of how good he's been in general and the fact that he's taken care of the football all season long, minus a two interception performance against the Broncos team you were just talking about, I just don't have any confidence that they can move him off the mark. I think he can be back there as a statue and be effective. I'm not too old to remember that first matchup and what he was doing with his guys at the line of scrimmage having clear advantages going down the field.
He's been terrific this year. And I remember at the beginning of the year, I was watching a lot of preseason shows, and guys were saying, this guy is going to be in the MVP talk at the end of the year. And I'm like, wow, I don't see it. I mean, I think I've seen enough of Jordan Love over the last few years, and I don't think he is an MVP-type quarterback. He proved me wrong. He really proved me wrong when healthy, and that's where I needed to give him the benefit. When healthy, he's been pretty spot on. And my biggest concern for this game is the Bears running the football. To me, that's the priority. That is most important, because they may get into a shootout with the Packers, and I don't care if it's sleet, snow, rain, and 25 degrees on the lakefront. It could be a shootout, but the Bears need to run the football, control the clock, and get behind what I think is the MVP of this team, and that's terrific offensive line with those three guys in the middle. And I'm not taking anything away from Darnell Wright or Ozzie Trapillo or Theo Benedict when he was out there, and maybe even they throw Braxton Jones out there for a couple of snaps.
Apparently.
Those guys that go guard, center, guard, Jackson, Tooney, and Adalman, they're the MVPs.
I couldn't agree more. We were asked the question. We create the questions on Five on It, and Ray asked the question yesterday, who was the biggest acquisition for the Bears in the offseason? And Marshall, you said Joe Tooney, and I do think that his veteran playoff experience is so unquantifiable here in a good way. And I said Drew Dahlman, because when you see how crucial the center is now to all of the offensive scheme that these teams run, it's got to be so sound. And Lou, I don't know about you, but I can't tell you how many times where previous Bears seasons, I'm stressed out about the clock. Play clock goes down, especially when we've seen so many quarterbacks audible out of it because they're seeing something that offensive coordinator or head coach didn't. And they're having to use that play clock, and then the center's off, and then they're off, and the play fails before it even has a chance to go. And to have that security with Drew Dahlman and the reliability, it's just been a load off my mind to be able to watch the games.
And you know what you didn't bring up, what I think is incredibly important, and I agree with you, Layla, and I agree with you, Marshall. I think Tooney's been terrific. What he has provided this team in that locker room that we don't even hear, his balanced personality of not getting too high, not getting too low when they open up 0-2, the experience he brought having played with Tom Brady, having played with Patrick Mahomes, and winning the Super Bowls he did. But you know what I don't think gets talked about enough, Layla, is that Dahlman has been there for every game, every snap, and he has made his quarterback comfortable.
Yeah.
And you're talking about a guy who was skittish last year because he had different centers. He had an offensive line that, you know, that had him on the run throughout his entire season, that had him sacked 68 times. And he couldn't process because he had no time to process in his head. And now he's got a center, other than the bad snap in the Wildcat a couple of weeks ago, he's got a center who has just been consistent, stable, and he's allowed Caleb Williams to do what he does best. And that's everything, because he's so athletic.
It's crazy because we were talking about this yesterday. He got sacked 68 times last year. And you look now, you don't really think about it, but when you see the sack total of 24 sacks taken, 24. 23rd in the 23 quarterbacks have been sacked more than Caleb Williams this season. And that speaks to how consistent, to your point, that offensive line play has been. And it's given him a chance to let the game actually slow down. And now the only question is, can you be consistent quarter one like you are in quarter four?
Well, they're going to have to. They're going to have to get off to a better start. I think it's key. I think it's incredibly important. Because if you're playing from behind, this offensive line has not only made Caleb Williams look really darn good, how about the running backs? DeAndre Swift, running for a career high this season. Kyle Manongai, seventh-round pick, what, 22nd, 23rd running back drafted? Over 750 yards. Bears haven't had a pair of 750-yard running backs since. Anyone care
was
to give it a
Peyton
shot?
Was it Peyton Sui?
Peyton and Roland Harper.
Oh, my goodness.
Back in 1978. Great old number 35, Roland Harper and Walter, who was number 34. These guys up front have made everyone look good. And I'll end the offensive line conversation with this great stat that I saw earlier today in The Athletic. Against the Packers, all right, who have all kinds of problems on their defensive line, ever since they lost Wyatt and then they lost Parsons, who never really got enough credit for his run defense because he's such a great pass rusher. In that Packers game against the Bears and the Packers game against the Ravens, that defense in Green Bay was giving up 3.5 yards before contact. That means that the offensive line of the Bears and the offensive line in Baltimore was blowing that defensive line of the Packers back to the point that 3.5 yards over the line of scrimmage was before they touched a running back, before they touched Swift, Manongai, or the King Henry.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry. You run it three times, you got a first down. Why throw the football?
That's exactly how I feel. if I know that I can get 3 to 4 yards every time on the same play, I'm doing it. Stop me. Stop me. Be a better athlete.
Do you guys feel like Ben Johnson? I know I felt like he got too cute on the first drive in that last game at Soldier Field against Green Bay. It was coming right at me in the south end zone. I was at the game. Part of my concern.
And they were rolling. They were on a great drive to open the seat.
They marched down the field, Lou.
Yep.
And you're like, okay, just get this yard. We're good. And the ball goes, wait, why is the ball even going? Anyway, do you feel like there's concern Ben Johnson may get, quote unquote, too cute a la Dan Campbell on that 3rd-and-1 last week?
How smart do you think Ben Johnson is?
I think he's really smart.
All right, then he's really smart, and he understands mistakes that he may have made.
Okay.
That's why we saw him mouthing, I should have gone for it.
Yes.
All right? That's the type of guy Ben Johnson is. That's what I love his intensity, because his players see his intensity. I don't know if you guys saw the podcast with the two former Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, the Bussin' with the Boys podcast and Kevin Byard.
Yeah, was that great?
It was tremendous.
It was tremendous. And what I loved about Byard, who's always forthcoming with the media, but still, he's in a press conference setting. He was with one of the boys there, and he was talking about Ben Johnson. And the players appreciate his intensity and realize he ain't no joke. All right, he ain't kidding around. You better get it together or he will sit you. I experienced it when I did the sit-down with Ben back last March at the owners' meetings in Palm Beach. All right, I had the opportunity to sit down with Ryan Poles, George McCaskey, Kevin Warren, and Ben Johnson. First time I met him. Asked Dan Miller, voice of the Lions, hey, I'm getting ready to meet Ben Johnson. Tell me what kind of guy he is. He looked at me, he goes, he is so intense, you better be ready. And he was so intense. I mean, you look at him and you're like, okay, yeah, you played quarterback, but I'm not sure you're going to scare a guy who's a defensive lineman that's playing for you. He is so intense that I said going into this season, his players are either going to fall in line behind him and do what he says, or they're out.
Well, that brings up a question we have about a Bear who we think should be playing some coming up on Saturday. More with Luke Kanellis. He is the main sports anchor at Fox 32. And a friendly reminder, by the way, Fox 32 has the Bears and Packers game this Saturday. More on their coverage. It's at 7 o'clock. They have a pregame, as Lou mentioned. We'll get into that and more with a question I have for you next.
Spiegel and Holmes are talking Bears versus Packers in the wild card round. Afternoons 2 to 6 p.m.
John Kuhn.
Packers, even though young, it's going to be the experience that the Packers have had in recent years' playoffs, playing against the fact that the Packers are missing some of their biggest stars in Tucker Kraft, Devontae Wyatt, Micah Parsons. Which one's going to win in that tug of war? And the Bears have enough to get the job done, but I still like the Packers in this ballgame.
The Spiegel and Holmes Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And always live on the free Odyssey.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The app. Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're talking to Luke Kanellis. We're still talking about that cool dinner that he got to host at Ovaly with the Fox crew. Because it's nice. Like, Ovaly is a great place to go. Just saying that because I would go there even if I didn't know that you were the owner of the restaurant. But to have that group and just how happy they were. And then they talked about it during the game. That's what made it so great.
Well, they're so great. And they're just normal. I mean, you and I were just talking about Erin Andrews, how normal she is. They're like us. They're fans. They're fans watching the game. Burkhardt is a fan. All right. Kevin was at SNY in New York with you guys working, right?
Yeah, we were down the street in Philadelphia, and he couldn't have been nicer. And Aaron has been nice to me for years.
I will say this. Don't ever let Lou know you're going to Ovaly, or he might have a special surprise waiting for you, and you might be slightly hungover the
next day. Have you ever told your partner?
I know. I don't think I have. I had a birthday.
So I really didn't. I didn't really know Marshall. Marshall was kind of new to town, and I found out, hey, Marshall Harris is going to Avalon River North.
Yeah. So my friend had a birthday party, and I'd actually never been there. I'd only been to the one up here on the hill, and
Lakeshore East.
Clay Harbor and I were going to this birthday party, and we're like, all right. So we walk in, and we're like trying to figure out where the party, because it was upstairs, and manager stops and says, oh, yeah, Marshall. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Guys, come here real quick. Just starts feeding us alcohol, straight alcohol.
Is it the ouzo? Is that how you say it?
No. I laid off the ouzo. I think I was.
The ouzo is amazing.
By the time we got upstairs to the party, I was done for.
You were feeling good.
I was done for.
See, and this is why I can't do dry January, because when I do drink, I enjoy it.
Yeah, it was a good time.
We all do.
Thank you for your hospitality, Lou.
Of course. Come on, man. You're Marshall Harris.
I'm just a guy.
I love it.
Hanging out.
And you're with Clay Harbor.
The TV's on. Reality television's own Clay Harbor.
He is the man.
I feel like I met Clay after all of that, so I know him as like your coworker, because I don't watch those shows.
I didn't watch those shows either. I only knew him as a former football player because I covered him when he was with the Eagles. That's how I knew him.
Now, listen, I know people who have been on the shows. You know, I know why they're famous and such. But I just don't. It's funny how you view somebody as to how you know them, not necessarily
how the world knows them.
Yes. Yeah. But that's the beauty of Avli, for example. Lou, I tease this, so I have to pay it off. We're trying to figure out why a healthy Tyrique Stevenson only got zero snaps against the Lions. What do you think about his availability, but then also why he hasn't been on the field as much?
Great question. And I'm not there enough to really give you an honest answer. I don't have a relationship with Dennis Allen. I barely have a relationship with Ben Johnson, even though I did see Ben on New Year's Eve at Hallis Hall. We had a chance to visit for a couple of minutes, but we didn't talk about Tyrique Stevenson. It's a secondary that needs someone. Okay. I don't know if they've seen something in Stevenson's play or maybe even off the field that's been bothersome for the coaching staff, which is why he has gotten zero snaps in the last week. I think there's some truth to, all right, we need to play Nashawn Wright. I mean, we'll all agree here.
Yeah.
The Bears are 9-0. I mean, just look at the numbers when they come up with two or more takeaways. So if your takeaway machine is Nashawn Wright, no matter how tough he's having it, all right, in man-to-man coverage,
very boomer bust.
You're still hoping that the man comes up with a takeaway, because he's done it 8 times already this season. You're not taking Kevin Byard off the football field. You're not taking Jaquan Brisker, who has remained healthy and played almost every snap on defense, off the football field. And now you had Gardner Johnson out there. Probably won't play. I mean, it hasn't been made official, but he's in concussion protocol. And now you're bringing back Spider-Man. And if he plays two plays and, God forbid, something happens physically where he has to sit again, well, you got a whole offseason to heal up. You need Kyler Gordon out there. I am a Tyrique Stevenson fan. We can all talk about what happened in D.C. last year, but I think everyone's moved on from that. And I truly believe, Ben, and I believe Dennis Allen, when they say, hey, listen, we don't care what happened in the past. It was a fresh slate coming in for everyone. So I think that they're a better team, even if they give them a handful of snaps. I don't know, 15, 20. You're not going to throw Kyler Gordon out there with the limited time he's played this year and expect him to play every down, right?
No, you're absolutely right. It's interesting because Nick McCloud was sick last week, and now he's back as far as that nickel corner spot goes.
But so he's just back. He was on the injured list, on the injury report yesterday.
Right, and so that's what I'm saying. It's like Dennis Allen does not have a full complement of players, but he has enough that, you know, that because of the type of defensive coordinator Dennis Allen is, you expect some razzle-dazzle in some form come Saturday night.
And he's so good at scheming. And McCloud, yeah, he's back now, but he was sick. He was really sick. We've all been really sick. You don't suddenly the next day or two feel 100% and go out and play football. It's one thing to show up at work and get behind a microphone. It's another thing to go play 60 minutes of football in the NFL playoffs.
No, it messes with your heart, too. A lot of times when you're sick, your heart rate's super high once you get back to any sort of activity. And he's been full the last 3 days, but he's still listed, which gives you an indication that that illness was still something that has to be thought of and addressed. So there's that piece of it. Lou, I also want to play some audio with you, because we opened our show talking about this, if you missed it. Just how free and easy and calm and confident everybody seems to sound up there in Green Bay. listen to Jeff Hafley. We talked about Keyshawn Nixon being Bears public enemy number one because of the matchup with DJ Moore and just how both games have ended. So here's what Hafley had to say about Keyshawn Nixon.
Keyshawn obviously made the play at the end of the Bears game here, gave up one at the end. He said, you know, he's glad to have a third crack at it. Knowing him the way you do, how do you think he comes out and plays on Saturday?
I think he'll play a great game. You know, I know he's super locked in. I know, you know, he's kind of a hero in that first game, and I know that meant a lot to him, especially in the rivalry. And I know he probably wishes he had that last play of regulation back. But that's life as a corner in this league. But I'm excited for him. He's a competitor. He's a guy who's kind of always been an underdog. He's kind of always been, you know, a guy that's had to work his way up to get where he's been. And just knowing him and what he's been through and what he's made of, and you know, if I had to put money on it, I'd say he's going to have a pretty good game. And I believe in him, and I have total confidence in him. And I'm excited for him to get back out there on that field and play again.
Good luck.
Ooh. Those are the words. Good luck.
Hope he ends up trying to pick up Colston Loveland on a few plays.
Ooh. Ooh. You want that man plowed into the ground.
Oh, man. Listen, and he made a big play. No. Caleb Williams underthrew Cole Kmet. All right. That's the way I saw it. Not like he made some great interception there.
He still had to actually pick it off.
But good for him.
That's the thing. We went over that play so many times, and I don't know if it was underthrown or if he just threw it too late, you know?
Both.
I think
for sure it was too late.
Nixon himself, I mean, to understand that he was an undrafted free agent, and obviously he's become a guy in the National Football League, he seems like he's got that kind of resiliency that can scare you. But ultimately, I think, much like the Bears are not at full strength in their secondary, he is not the strongest link or the second strongest link. He is a guy you would target if you are Ben Johnson. And I know Ben Johnson likes to hunt coverages and hunt certain players and go crazy on them.
We have an injury report.
Oh, I like a good injury report. Maybe.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson is out. So that is the ruling on him, as is Amon Ogbogamika. He is out as well. Joe Tryon-Truyenka is listed as out. I don't think that surprises anybody. He's been in the concussion protocol. Kyler Gordon listed as questionable. Braxton Jones listed as questionable. Everybody else who was a full participant, not listed status. So they're good to go, it would appear.
That's great. No surprises.
I think the best news of that injury report is that you have a situation now where the questionables, at least they practiced in full. And Roma Dunze practiced in full. And DJ Moore and all these guys practiced in full. If they didn't practice in full, I'd have a lot more trepidation. But I feel good now. Based on what Ben Johnson said, based on obviously what Roma Dunze said in the locker room yesterday, it feels like everyone's going to be available. It's just a matter of how good are they going to be when they get on the football field.
But yeah. Everyone's going to be available, so you got a whole slate of people. I mean, you've got a whole slate of players, and you can do some mixing and matching and getting guys in to help out if someone isn't playing well. I mean, you're treating it like this is the last game of the season.
Well, you have to. But at the same time, you know, what do you expect to do with Braxton Jones? I don't know that we have the answer to that yet. Is he there for depth, I would assume?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, Tripillo's, you know, the guy that has stood out at left tackle, so he's your guy, and you just can't predict, but at least you're not in a position where, oh, wow, we're going to throw a guy out there who brings us no experience, and we're in the NFC wild card in the second half, and we're down two touchdowns. At least you're not in that position.
Well, and Ozzie Tripillo, by the way, upgraded to a full participant in practice, so that's a good sign as well.
Can they just not be down by two touchdowns? Do we have to?
Well,
can
I didn't
we avoid
say the Bears
that?
Were going to be down by two touchdowns.
Okay,
maybe
okay.
It was the Packers that would be down.
Right.
I didn't say the Bears will be down two touchdowns.
But it does feel like this game is going to be one score possession, fourth quarter-ish. That's what this is, right?
You know what, Marshall? I wanted to sit and say that this was going to be a game that one team would pull ahead and win with ease. And the more we get into it and the more I hear from these players and the head coaches, the more I feel like, buckle up, man. It's another another white knuckler.
Oh, yeah. I don't think this is. I think when Vegas knows it's a 1.5-point game out of the gate, there's a reason. I side with the experts on that one. I think it's probably a 1-point game.
Can I throw this out there, too, because I know a ton of Bears fans that are watching right now. And I grew up going to these Bears games. And I think, in my opinion, since the Bears knocked off the Saints to go to the Super Bowl back in 2006. It's the biggest Bears game in the city of Chicago, even bigger than the 2010.
And really?
I think it's bigger than the NFC Championship game as well. I think that this game is on that level because, and here's why, forever, all right, whether it's the last forever, what, seven seasons under Matt LaFleur or the last 15, 20 years under Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, those people up north have had their foot on my throat as a Bears fan. And if it's got to end. It ends Sunday. This body can't handle any more scars.
That's
do it for Lou.
No, but, and here, I thought one of the great numbers I saw to come out, Brad Biggs had a terrific number about quarterbacks, playoff quarterbacks on the road. I don't know if you guys saw it at the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
All right.
And 10 that, things.
Yeah. And other than Aaron Rodgers, I think they're 2-21 on the road. And the Bears, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if you look at the Bears' defensive numbers this season at home in comparison
night
to the road games, night and day. And that is a credit to Bears fans out there. And don't think for one second when you are lathered up and that place is rocking to the point that it's going to come down on its own and you don't need a new stadium to go up for Soldier Field to come down. This place needs to make noise because that's the way you'll make Jordan Love feel uncomfortable because it won't be as easy getting that snap on the road. His numbers aren't great on the road either, all right, over the course of his career in the playoffs. So I'm really dependent on Bears fans on Saturday night. This is a monster game for them as well.
But as Danny told everybody, be quiet when they're on offense.
That, yes.
Danny's going to be sitting 50-yard line behind the bench, by the way, first
Parkins?
Row. Yeah.
Yeah, he told me he really ponied up for these tickets, too.
Yes, he's got the outfit to match, a luxurious orange robe, and he'll be wearing his sunglasses tonight. I want to ask about your neck, because you just said the Bears have had their foot on your throat for quite some time. How much pleasure would you get with not just a Bears win, but a Bears win in which Ben Johnson lives up to his word, beats Matt LaFleur twice in one season, and then Matt LaFleur's shown the door?
I don't want to lose. No, no.
Oh, you want to keep him there?
No, I want to keep him. I want the Ditka Forrest Gregg rivalry to exist in this town between Matt LaFleur and Ben Johnson because guess what? They both love it. They really, even, I know someone that's been out with LaFleur and he's like, I don't even know the guy. And he's going after me. He didn't use language like that.
He
said that. He's like, I don't get it. And now I can't wait to go. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there is a real, this is real. This isn't a made-for-TV garbage. This is a real dislike. And what, in Green Bay, they're upset that Austin Booker hit Jordan Love and they're making comments in the locker room. Go for it. Go for it. I can't wait to see the flag come out. We'll take the 15-yard personal foul penalty for the Bears.
Well, they'd better actually call it because the Keyshawn Nixon and DJ Moore, they did not.
They did not. You're right. They missed it. I asked Moore on Monday after that catch. I said, how did you hold on to that football? Because if you look at the still shots, he had his hands covering his eyes.
Insane.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Lou, one more time, tell everybody what the plan is for Saturday on Fox.
All right. Fox 32, 12:30 to 2, Bears Game Day Live. Jim Miller sitting in for Anthony Herron because Anthony's got a
gig. All-American game.
Yeah, the All-American game in San Antonio on NBC. Great for Big A, does an unbelievable job. But great to have former Bears quarterback Jim Miller back. And Cassie Carlson will be at Soldier Field. Tina Wynn will be helping out as well. And then after the game, keep it on Fox right after the game. No post-game show on Amazon. We're going right to it. Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson, Cassie inside the locker room will be on set.
You heard Lou. Watch the game and the crew on Fox, and also make sure you check out the work tomorrow on Saturday afternoon as well. Lou, this has been a lot of fun, as usual.
Thank you, guys. I'm right across the street anytime you want.
Hopefully we can do it again after a Bears win, and then we're having a conversation about the Eagles or whoever would play without the Eagles involved.
You have that right.
Lou Canellis, thanks again. That's Lou, the main sports anchor at Fox 32. We love talking to him anytime he hangs out with us. Coming up next, perhaps the most wild action I've heard in a while taken by an individual. And then that begs the question, if you were in their shoes, what would you do? That's not
tonight's meal. Tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Next.
Raheemy Harrison Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That is a great movie.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And I just have to play this for you. Bobby Wagner was on Hard Knocks and proceeds to watch an entire movie on a plane, not just without sound, but without captions.
You seen The Martian, where he gets stuck in space? You know, that's the only movie I've watched with no sound. And I watched the whole movie.
You just have subtitles?
I have nothing, bro.
What?
I made up my own, like, just what I thought was going on.
Was there a reason why you did that?
No. I was on an airplane. And you know how I missed the part where they said...
That makes sense why you lost.
Pass you out the headphones. So I don't have the headphones that stick into the thing. So the lady next to me was like, had just started the movie. So I was watching it and I just saw crazy going on. And I low-key watched the whole movie. And it was interesting.
So in the 2 hours that you watched that movie, did no flight attendant come ask you on some headphones?
Well, I don't know if she knew. I don't even think I was supposed to be watching the movie. It wasn't on my screen. It was somebody else's screen. So I didn't want to know. I didn't want her to know that I was looking at her screen. So I was just kind of like looking like this. But it was a good movie. And I've always said to myself, man, I need to watch that movie with sound. But then I was like, I don't want to ruin it because the movie good to me without sound.
Got to be a good-ass movie like it with sound.
Yes.
What?
Yes. Bobby, I feel you.
And we're robbing you of the actual visuals of the incredulous looks that Bobby is getting while telling this story.
But no.
He's like, well, I don't want them to know I'm watching. This is the most Seinfeld or Curb real life like discussion I've heard in a long time.
Okay, several things here. Bobby, you're not alone.
I've got to watch that movie with sound.
Text us right now if this has happened to you, because I guarantee you, this has happened to me. It happened to me on several occasions.
It happened to me too, but I got captions.
I didn't get captions. And I don't even know what the name of the movie was that I was watching, but I watched a whole movie on a flight where no captions and no sound. And you know why I was comfortable doing it? Because often when I go to bars, like my little neighborhood bar, Half Sour.
Yeah.
Okay. They always have games on, and if there's no games, they'll have movies on, and there might not be captions, and you're just watching. So let me tell you a story.
I did that with New Jack City and Logan Square.
But you had seen New Jack City.
But still, I had forgot a lot of it.
But let me tell you what I did. I'm watching this movie, and I'm like, what's going on? And I'm just like watching it, and I see like the, I think maybe it was on E or whatever, or maybe it was USA. I think it was on USA, because it's got the logo on
the
USA
is a big movie channel.
So they
sure.
have USA on. And like this dude is dressed as Santa Claus and he just keeps killing people. And I'm like, what's, is he the bad guy? Oh no, it looks like he's the good guy. There's a hostage situation and I'm watching the whole movie and I'm done eating and I go home and I watch the last 10 minutes of that movie with sound and with captions on USA at my house. So the 5 minute walk home and then I watch the end of the movie. This happens more often than you think.
Oh no, I did it. It was with some Jessica Alba crime movie on Netflix, which was terrible. And I'm like, well, at least I didn't have to listen to it.
Well, hold on, you may be thinking of a Jessica Alba crime TV series that was on Netflix. It was like a whole detective series that was also a thing.
No, she went back to her hometown in New Mexico and had been taken over by the sheriff. And you know what the funniest part is? If the movie had had sound, I don't know that I would have been as captivated because I was forced to focus on it because there was no sound. But I had captions to watch The Martian with no sound and no captions.
Was there a reason why you did that?
You know, the youth.
The confession. Do you realize that movie is 2 hours and 30 minutes long?
Also, I hate to break it to Commander's linebacker, Bobby Wagner, but he's watching this movie on a plane on someone else's screen next to him.
Afraid to say that he's doing it.
And I hate to break it to Bobby Wagner, but that lady had to have known. Like, you know when someone's kind of staring in your direction.
I don't know, because there's a little space, especially if you're in an exit row. And I'm assuming Bobby Wagner would be in an exit row at the least. You got some space, and you're just kind of cut your eyes over. You're doing what you're doing and eating your food or whatever, drinking your drink, and you're just looking over. Looking over.
Why do I picture Bobby Wagner crammed into the middle seat and coach?
That's exactly what I thought.
Like afraid to look at somebody else's screen.
Oh my goodness, this is a nightmare. 636. Me and my lady snuck in to see the movie Avatar, but without the 3D glasses. Not a good idea.
Oh no. How do you still have vision?
I always, anytime I go to a 3D movie and I see people in there and I realize they don't have the 3D glasses, I want to yell, hey guys, need 3D glasses for this one. Because obviously the movie starts to come on and people are like scurry out of there to try to find some 3D glasses.
Here's the other thing is, did he get caught up in that trend where you raw dog the flight, as people say?
Ooh.
Can I say that?
Yes, you can say raw dog the flight.
Can you explain that to me?
You haven't heard this trend where people, it's some sort of weird feats of strength thing.
Oh, where you have no entertainment prepared for yourself?
You just sit there in silence.
Can't go to sleep. No,
can't go to sleep.
Yeah. I don't get it. It's not for me.
It's just like showing how tough you are that you can just like.
To who? To yourself?
I feel like it's a meathead thing, but I can't say why. It just sounds like...
I sat on a plane silently and wasn't like entertained. Yeah.
815.
Challenging yourself for no reason.
Once at a hotel, I watched 20 minutes of Castaway and didn't realize it was in Spanish because there was no dialogue. Because it was Castaway.
Okay, that's good. That's
also, I like this one, 847. I watched Project X with no sound while on acid. Good movie. Project X is an amazing movie.
The soundtrack is so good.
Yes.
You had a good time, but you could have had a better time.
Well, my submission here then is to that one texter who watched the movie in Spanish. The first time I ever saw Child's Play with Chucky, it was in Spanish, and it's way more terrifying in Spanish than it is in English. I'll tell you that. Hell yeah.
That's hilarious.
I could see that.
Chucky sounds more evil.
Spanish is
the voice is deeper.
It's a passionate language that is spoken with a lot of cool words. So I could see why that would be even more terrifying.
Like, I don't even think I was supposed to be watching the movie.
Wasn't I just talking about how English is like pretty basic in its structure and description of things?
Wow.
God, I mean, I also love the fact that he for some reason thought he was cheating or doing something wrong by watching somebody else's screen. Like, Bobby, you're not in school. This is not a test. It is okay.
I might have to check out this.
Like, that's polite.
This Tunity app. I don't know anything about it, but 815 says, Tunity app, hear muted TV anywhere, like the gym or bars or possibly someone else's screen.
We've got the perfect crew to talk about that because, well, at least one of the two, Matt Spiegel was the one that I learned about that app from.
Shut up. We should talk to him
years ago.
Let's do it.